So welcome to this webinar on Kit and Arlo Find a Way. And I was going to hold up a copy of the book, but so far I've only got one without a cover on it. I'm still waiting on my advance from the printers, but it is a real thing. It's really happening. We're very excited about it. So thank you for joining us on this first webinar to tell you all about Kit and Arlo Find a Way. My name is Elisa Webb. I'm the publisher at ACR Press, which is the publishing arm of the Australian Council for Educational Research. I'm joined by, also from ACR, Kelly Vanos. Starting point for this discussion today is Kit and Arlo Find a Way, Teaching Consent to 8 to 12 Year Olds. And we're joined by the authors of the book, Ingrid Laguna and Vanessa Hamilton. Woo. Ingrid Laguna is a renowned novelist and educator. She's written a memoir and numerous books for children. Her title Songbird was given notable recognition by the Children's Book Council of Australia and shortlisted for Speech Pathology Australia's Book of the Year Award and published internationally. Sunflower was shortlisted for the Children's Peace Literature Award, and we're hoping Kit and Arlo will join Ingrid's previous work in being highly awarded. Ingrid's work appears in many publications, including The Monthly, The Age, The AU Magazine, and she regularly presents at schools, libraries, festivals, and conferences. Vanessa Hamilton is a sexuality educator and founder of education business Talking the Talk, Healthy Sexuality Education, with over 25 years' experience as a registered sexual health nurse. She's a parent of three teenagers and is a highly respected speaker, podcaster, blog writer, and educator on the topics of human sexuality, consent, and respectful relationships. Vanessa's immersed herself in helping parents, teachers, and health professionals understand human sexuality and specifically how it relates to children. And that's actually how this book came to be published, was Vanessa ran a session just like that for my kids' school. And I went along to the parent session and thought, oh my goodness, this is amazing. And sent her a follow-up email the next day saying that was incredible and I love what you do. And if you ever want to write a book with us, please let me know. And she said, well, funny you should say that. I've got this one that I've been working on with Ingrid that we're just about ready to pitch to a publisher. And so, you know, the rest is history. It was perfect timing. So yes, that's what we're here to talk about today and to tell you a bit more about Kit and Arlo, because we know that consent education is now mandated across Australia from the start of next year. And, you know, while many engaged teachers and school leaders have been working on building these issues into their curriculum for a while now, there are still lots of questions around lots of different topics to do with this issue, particularly, I think, on how to adapt the content so that it's age appropriate. And also, you know, how to support teachers who don't maybe feel prepared to lead these discussions in the classroom. So Kit and Arlo's secret weapon is that it's a really engaging and compelling story in its own right. And it brilliantly weaves in scenarios and situations that kids can relate to from their own real life experiences. And Vanessa and Ingrid are going to talk a bit more about how exactly that all works in the classroom. But we really hope that Kit and Arlo will go a long way to filling the gaps for schools and supporting teachers in this important work. And we're really thankful to Ingrid and Vanessa for setting aside some time this afternoon to start unpacking some of these sorts of questions for us. So without further ado, I'll hand over to you, Vanessa.
Thank you. It's brilliant to be here and hello to everybody, and thanks for the great introduction to both of us. And timing was perfect. That's how Ingrid and I connected. I was teaching consent in the classroom to five-year-olds, to preps, just that morning, and a little five-year-old had said to me while they were colouring in their body boundary and safety activity, you know, we'd been learning about hugging and getting permission and that sort of thing, along with a whole lot of other things about respect. And the five-year-old had said to me, I'm so glad you taught me about that hugging thing. I just hug whoever I want, whenever I want to. And her little friend beside her said, yeah, she does, you know, exasperated. And I thought, we can teach consent to five-year-olds. How can we get this information out? And literally that day, Ingrid rang, said, do you want to write a book on consent? Yes, I do. Anyway, here we are, isn't it? And Ingrid and I do know each other from our children going to the same primary school. So it's meant to be. But as I've said already, consent is about relationships. Consent is integral to human relationships throughout our whole lives, through across all ages. It's about sharing experiences with others and being connected. You know, it has hardly anything to do with sex, especially when it relates to children. It's about giving children and young people innate decision-making skills to in order to make informed decisions and give consent in their intimate encounters later on in life, because they're very complex and they need those decision-making skills to be there.
So the aim is to help with those decision-making skills, get kids to value consent so that they know that valuing consent means just respecting other people. So the basic principles of consent always apply to connections in family, friends, work, and play. Now, it can be as simple as a big affirmative yes, but actually consent is much more complex than that, and it's complex because humans are complex. And we, in different situations, we experience different feelings, different thoughts, and different emotions. So how can we ensure that we're receiving and giving consent throughout? So Kid and Arlo navigate friendships, the ups and downs of lives in an age-appropriate way with realistic experiences that young people have to discover the true meaning of consent. And as I said, it's not about sex or sexual relationships, but it does aim to lay the foundation for mutually respectful, enjoyable partnerships later on in life. Now, people say, what's consent got to do with teaching children? And it does start in the playground, actually, when they're learning mutually negotiated, enjoyable activities to play with each other. Lego is a story. Playing Lego with each other is a story I use in the classroom all the time, and I'm thrilled that it's in the book, and Ingrid is going to share that with you soon. Children learn to negotiate and express what they want, what they don't want, how to interpret and understand what others do and don't want, and we learn social and emotional intelligence. So for the children, the book, we've actually broken it down into 13 chapters that are all related to a really important aspect of consent. Consent is complex, as I said. I had all of these notes about consent ready to go, and Ingrid has beautifully crafted them into an engaging story. And I'll just tell you those topics that we've included. They relate to body boundaries and safety, that sense of self, personal strength and self-determination. We want children to have that innate sense of that they are worthy, for experiences that make them feel good, and that are shared. Responsibility for yes or no should be shared. That's a big one that we need to talk about, the fact that that responsibility for enjoying an activity shouldn't just be put on one person. One person shouldn't be the gatekeeper of the no or the yes. And what that means is that one person shouldn't really suggest something to another person that they would never really want to do, and they know that. So that shared responsibility of yes or no. We talk about courage to withdraw consent, because you have to be really brave to do that. But with that, we talk about providing a safe space for someone to withdraw consent, and what a great thing it is if you can provide that space for them. Verbal and non-verbal cues. We talk about empathy, and there's a whole lot of resources that come with the book. I'll tell you about those now, as well as the guided learning in the back. There is a website with 13 lessons to match each chapter for teachers to use in the classroom. So when I said empathy, it reminded me of the consent crossword that you'll have access to, that has words like reciprocity and generosity and respect and all the other words related to consent, about 20 different words. We talk about enthusiastic and ongoing consent. Swap instead of stop. That's got to do with, just because someone changes their mind, you don't have to stop the activity altogether. Maybe you can swap and do something else. Managing disappointment, I think, is really important. And as I'm talking about these things, think about throughout when I was creating the consent topics, I was always thinking about teenagers and young people, those novices in sexual relationships, and what skills and knowledge they need in order to have healthy, respectful partnerships and encounters. So what was I thinking of there? Managing disappointment. So although you were keen to have to share an experience with someone, how do you manage that disappointment when they don't give you consent? Listening to your own truth. What really is your needs and wants and desires? Consent and ethics, talking about being an upstander. And we talk about a touch on the laws, especially in relation to sexual images or pornography, but that's done in a very age-appropriate way. And it all ties up in a nice, neat bow in respectful relationships and better friendships. And it's designed for years 3 to 6, 8 to 12-year-olds, because the research tells us that we need to teach consent across different areas of education, not just in health. So this being in a literacy in a book helps with that. Ingrid will talk about the fact that you could read, this class teacher could read 2 chapters a week perhaps and do the guided learning. So accompanying the book, there is a digital teaching platform with lessons as well. And there'll be videos from me on some of the key pressure points for teachers about teaching this content. As I said before, if I haven't said it already, consent, respectful relationships and sexuality information and education needs to be complement each other and taught together. Some of those teachers, I was just teaching a group of teachers on Friday and we went through all of the same commonalities that teachers often tell me, and that's that comfort with this content and the familiarity with the content. And we're providing that to reduce the barriers of teaching, teachers being able to accomplish this learning. On that, I'll just mention now, a whole school approach is the best way to teach sexuality, respect, relationships and consent, and that includes parents. This book is for parents as well. You can have it at home, read it and engage the kids with more conversations. What else will I talk about? In the classrooms, the idea is that teachers, as I said, will do those lessons, and a lot of the lessons relate to having posters in the classroom that will be there for the whole year, where consent will come up time and time again, and they can refer back to Kit and Arlo and what happened in the story. And now that consent is compulsory in Australian schools, although it has been already in Victoria, we don't want this to be another burden, something that has to tick the box that, you know, we have to do it. We get to see what the resources will be, but this resource already exists. So schools could actually pick this up now and start with their consent learning. You don't need to wait till next year. So the past curriculum mentioned consent twice. The new version has just been released. I'm yet to review it. So we anticipate that consent will be much more embedded in the current curriculum. So people think, well, this is just high school stuff. Hey, can you share my screen? I can't.
Don't share it just yet, but I'll let you know when to maybe just hold off for a moment. Yep. No problem. Thanks, Vanessa, and thank you, Elisa. Fantastic to be here and welcome to everyone. It's great to be talking about Kit and Arlo Find a Way, teaching consent to 8 to 12-year-olds. At last, we're so excited and it hits the shelves on the 1st of June, so that's only a week away. So I wish I had a hard copy right here, but I don't. So I am predominantly a children's author, and my last three books and my next few books have been for 8 to 12-year-olds. So my craft and my experience is in writing for that readership. So what has been such an exciting development for Vanessa and I was that the coming together of this idea of someone who's an expert in the field of teaching respectful relationships and consent with a storyteller. So it was so exciting to us when we decided we both were really passionately wanted to create something. And then when we had a go at the sort of writing one chapter, and so what that involved was that Vanessa suggested she gave me a scenario that embodied a particular consent principle, and I came up with two characters and I wrote a little chapter, and then we put them together, and then Vanessa created some discussion prompts and some key points and some key words relating to that consent principle, and we just put them together, and we were just like, I just remember getting shivers. I get shivers now just remembering, because it was a perfect sort of combination, because I know, and we all know that if you can engage children in a story, in a relatable narrative, and that they're going to want to keep reading, and then they can relate to the characters, and that those characters go on all sorts of journeys within themselves and have experiences that readers can relate to, then that is a way of internalizing the learnt experience of the messaging through storytelling, through literature, without the awareness that they're being taught something, as it were. So we thought that we would share a little bit of the story just to give you a taste of the sort of the writing and the readership, what the readership is going to get. If you want to share the screen, Vanessa.
Sure.
Yeah, so they're the chapters. I sort of just listed some of those there. That's the contents page, and you'll see that down the bottom of the contents page, it's got how to use Kit and Arlo to teach consent, and then it's got guided learning and consent ingredients. This is chapter 9. Vanessa, I will read this, but did you want to talk a bit about, so what you told me about why you gave me this scenario? Oh, yeah.
Okay, so although this chapter has nothing to do with sex, as far as the written chapter, I do want the adults to think about the sexual analogies that are incorporated in the messaging in the storyline here as it goes through.
Yep, so this book, this whole book, there is zero reference to sex or sexuality per se, because there doesn't need to be, because the principles of consent need to be taught young, and then, as Vanessa said, they are then taken into their interactions and relationships as they move into adolescence and adulthood. So chapter 9, Lego. Kit knelt on the carpet at Arlo's house. "Hurry up," she said, dipping her hand into a packet of chips. "Can you believe I found the latest Lego Star Wars spaceship at the op shop?" She crunched on chips and licked the salt from her fingers. "And the lady said there's not a single piece missing." "Amazing," said Arlo, peeling off the last piece of sticky tape and opening the box. "Let's do this. Let's make the whole thing today." "Yes," said Kit, "today." Arlo tipped the Lego onto the floor between them. Crash. "Whoa," said Kit, pushing her glasses up her nose. She sifted her hand through the pieces. "Here's Han Solo," she said, holding up a small plastic figure with a blaster in its hand. "I found Chewbacca," said Arlo. "And R2-D2, oh, wow." On his hands and knees, Arlo spread the Lego across the floor and pulled out pieces of the spaceship. Kit positioned the box against the couch and looked closely at the spaceship picture, and she separated the tiny grey Lego pieces into a pile. "Help me with these," she said. "All the grey bits are the spaceship." "Okay," said Arlo, picking up grey pieces and tossing them towards Kit. Kit pressed the pieces onto the flat base, and gradually the spaceship took shape. Duke trotted over from his bed in the corner. "No, Duke," said Arlo. Duke stopped still, and Arlo scratched behind his ears and kissed the side of his nose. "Good boy. Now sit." Duke sat. "Drop," said Arlo. Duke dropped. "Stay." Duke stayed, and Kit giggled. "Don't let him eat the Lego," she said. "Nah, he wouldn't do that," said Arlo. They heard gurgling baby talk noises coming from the next room. "But Cassie might. We've got to do this before she's allowed in here." So I guess I'll read on a bit. Okay, said Arlo, picking up grey pieces and tossing them towards Kit. Kit pressed the pieces onto the flat base, and gradually the spaceship took shape. Duke trotted over from his bed in the corner. "No, Duke," said Arlo. Duke stopped still, and Arlo scratched behind his ears and kissed the side of his nose. "Good boy. Now sit." Duke sat. Oh, sorry. Have I just repeated myself? I have. Sorry. Anyway, I'm just going to go over to Kit added a new section onto the spaceship. "Look at this," said Arlo. He picked up the block of roof he'd been putting together and handed it to Kit. "Put it on top," he said. Kit loved the satisfying feeling of pushing the pieces together. They fitted perfectly. "It really looks like a spaceship now," she said. Arlo stood and stretched. Then he dropped to the floor and lay down alongside Duke, resting an arm over his neck. "Come on," said Kit. "We're nearly done." "Look at Duke," said Arlo. "He's licking my cheek." Kit added more Lego to the spaceship. "Come on, Arlo. You said we'd finish the spaceship now, today." "Yeah, I know," said Arlo. "But look at Duke." He put his forehead up close to Duke's nose and laughed when Duke licked him again. "Let's take Duke to the park." Kit sat up and put her hands on her hips. "So we're not doing this now?" "Tomorrow," said Arlo. "You can come over tomorrow and we can finish it." Kit's hands flew out in front of her. "But you said we agreed we'd finish today, and we're so close." Arlo paused and held Kit's gaze. He huffed air through his nose. "Come on, Arlo," said Kit. She held up a black caped figure holding a red saber. "It's Darth Vader. I'll put him here." She placed Darth Vader inside the spaceship. Arlo rummaged his fingers through the pieces and handed Kit three more grey bits. Then he rubbed his eyes with his fists and patted Duke some more. I'm done, he said. I don't want to do this right now. Arlo, that's not fair. We're almost finished. You can't just change your mind. But I want to take Duke out. Kit stood and stomped a foot. The spaceship wobbled. She had been having so much fun with the Lego and they were so close. Fine, she said, I'm going home. Arlo stood too. He licked his top lip. They stood face to face. Kit still hoped Arlo might change his mind. She could see from the way his eyes flicked from the spaceship to Duke that he was thinking about it. Bye, Kit, he said. I wish you weren't angry, but I don't feel like playing anymore. Kit dropped her arms to her sides, heavy with disappointment. Arlo was right. She felt angry. She closed her eyes and breathed in and then out. She counted down from five in her mind, a trick Ma had taught her for when Kit felt frustrated with Joan. When she opened her eyes, Arlo was on the floor putting the spaceship back into the tub in one piece. She saw him picking up pieces and putting them away. She imagined if she had been the one to change her mind. She recalled Arlo pleading with her to stay at the park with Duke a little longer. She had felt pressured and annoyed. I don't have to, she had said. She watched Arlo scooping up Lego pieces and dropping them into the tub. It's okay, she said. We don't have to finish it today. Arlo looked at Kit. Can we keep playing tomorrow? He said. Tomorrow felt like a long way off for Kit, but it was better than never. Yes, she said. Everyone changes their mind. It's not like there's a law against it. We'll have fun tomorrow, said Arlo. Yep, said Kit. See you then. So then back home, Kit remembered how fun it was to build the Lego ship while they both wanted to. When Arlo didn't want to play anymore, all the fun went away. There was just Kit wanting to force Arlo to keep playing. If someone isn't having fun, you can't make them. That's the opposite of fun, she thought. So then at the back, this is just an example of the kind of things that you'll see, the kind of learning associated with each chapter. So this is for Lego, the one we've just read, Managing Disappointment. Discussion points, can people change their mind even if they've promised to do something? Can you describe two of the communication cues that tell us Arlo no longer wants to play Lego? How do we know that Kit wants Arlo to continue playing? How can we let someone know it is safe for them to change their mind? How can we create a situation in which we are certain that both people are enjoying the shared activity? Describe a time you felt disappointed when someone changed their mind after agreeing to do something with you. Describe how a person behaves when they respect someone else's right to choose what they want. And then there's a read and respond section that I don't need to read it out to you, but it's a section from the book, that chapter, and then it says, Kit is really disappointed. Do you think Arlo should have just kept playing until the spaceship was finished? Why do you think that? What could they do instead of finishing the Lego? And then there's a writing prompt. There's some things we can do to manage our disappointment when things don't go our way. Now, the nature of this, the way we've created this, is that depending on a teacher or educator or parent's time, you could choose to use some of those discussion points and not others. Depending on the cohort of kids, you can reword them so that they work for you and your class. I'm a teacher myself. I have a teaching background, and I'm aware that every cohort is different and every student is different. But this is sort of a template, as in a way, that can be adapted to the classroom. I just wanted to say that the way that it's done is the story itself, the same way that I have written all my books for children, there is an overall story arc so that they've got narrative tension throughout. So there's drama, there's a big problem. And the big problem at the beginning for Kit and Arlo are the two protagonists within the story. And Kit's big problem is that she's not good at asserting her true needs and thoughts and wants. She tends to do to please her friends. And so, for example, she goes to the clubs that they want to go to rather than going to the one that she wants to go to. And she's also not very good at saying no to, for example, Arlo, his behavior with her or with other kids. He's lacking awareness in personal space and personal awareness. He's had some poor role modeling from both his parents. And we hope that that's reflected in the story. And so the story is it's got a strong narrative tension itself. And that's the idea, that kids want to keep reading it. Teachers can adapt and use it as they desire. So once a week, once a day, whatever, that you've seen how long a chapter is and you've seen the length of the learning material. So it can be adapted as you desire.
Terrific. I could just chat to consent ingredients a little bit.
No, I just wanted to, I'll just say how amazing it is that, you know, that Ingrid's done such a brilliant job of weaving all those things just into stories that are everyday scenarios that kids experience all the time. I just think it's brilliant that it's all in there. And if you didn't know that it was, you know, like subconsciously teaching you all these things, you could just pick it up at the library and read the story and be like, oh, that was a cool story. And, you know, you're absorbing those messages anyway, but it's not didactic. It doesn't whack you over the head with it. It's just really, yeah, it's really well done.
And it's also inclusive as well. So we've tried, you were talking about parents before, we've got families come in all shapes and sizes. And before, Ingrid said the book has nothing to, it doesn't overtly talk about sex and sexuality. No, it doesn't, but it does include all the versions of, not all the versions, but lots of versions of being human, which includes sexuality diversity, and that doesn't stand out alone as something that's inappropriate for age. That's just being human. So there is relationships depicted in that, because it's important to be inclusive for everybody, obviously. So just I'll put some words up here, just to, you don't have to read them all, but just letting people know that we really tried to embed those consent making decisions, that we want kids to be honest and trust people, be respectful and ethical. What else? Actions. We've talked about actions, valuing your friendships, enjoying playing and having fun, giving and receiving permission, allowing people to withdraw consent, never coerce, bribe or force someone, because it's not fun. It's not fun when you make someone do something. It's not as enjoyable for everybody. And just that communication that's affirmative and shared, it becomes in all shapes and sizes, verbal and nonverbal, and how nuanced and complex that is. Enthusiastic, we want people to, kids to have empathy, so they'll actually learn the word empathy, understand what it's like to be in someone else's shoes. So you wouldn't want them and encourage them to do something they don't want to do, because you wouldn't want to feel like that. Valuing comfort, managing disappointment, affirmation, I love generosity, reciprocity and human connection, you know, giving and receiving, pleasure, positivity. So not the fear and danger approach of the past. This really is a relationship positive focus as far as the storyline, because that's the best way to teach sexuality education, respectful relationships and consent to our young people. Respecting diversity, being willing to unlearn and not adhere to rigid gender stereotypes. So we have weaved those throughout the stories as well, especially in relation, as I said before, about people having power over other people, but in a classroom setting, and value equity in all human relationships. So that's just the consent ingredients there.
We've got one question.
Sure.
It's Antoinette's asking if there are representations in the book of a male who might not be assertive and a female who doesn't know personal boundaries, which I think is really getting at the gender, you know, stereotypes of that, those kinds of behaviours.
Yes, but there's certainly instances, I'm just going to speak to the, just off the top of my head, even Kit's friend, Vanya. So when Kit expresses her desire to go to her own book club. So basically, a couple of other instances in which Vanya doesn't heed Kit's expression of what she wants and needs. That's one example of that just comes to mind. Yeah.
We actually extended the learning, because it's so complex, all of these topics, we extended the learning and the guided learning and the lessons to say that you can also be an upstander if you don't feel safe to say anything, if it's not, you can't act at the time, you can go and tell an adult, tell a teacher, or go and support the person who was targeted. And that is just as important as saying something at the time, because you have to be safe yourself. So we've covered a lot of it, because it's so complex, a lot of it is in the extended learning. We can't say that we've covered every single nuance of respect and consent in every single aspect of a kid's chapter book story in 170 pages, because it's as complex as being human.
Can you talk a bit more, Vanessa, about the content that is there to unpack a bit more outside of the story? So the content that's on the website to support teachers, because, yeah, it is, as you say, incredibly tricky in some of these situations to know what to say, because kids could just come out with who knows what in the discussion.
Who knows what?
Yeah.
So the videos there for teachers are things about your personal privacy protection statement, which is the thing that rolls off your tongue when a child asks you something that's personal or pushes your button. There'll be a statement. I'll be teaching you how to do that, such as if they ask you a personal question, you can say, oh, look, I won't be sharing my personal information today because I don't think it's relevant for your learning. Giving teachers tips for saying things like, that's a fantastic question, but it's outside the level of learning today. It's really a question based on values. So you need to talk to your adults at home about that, because teaching these topics, even though they are value laden, when you're in the classroom, should be based on fact. And it's okay to say, well, this exists, and these are the two ends of the spectrum of opinions in our society. Best to chat with your adults at home about what they think about that. So protective interruption, because when we give children safe permission to have these conversations, they may disclose things that are happening in their world. So we'll visit that. Just a few language tips for teachers, and parents for that matter, but mainly for teachers, to not say you or I, to not personalise the conversation. So we'd say people would think this, and people go along, and people's thoughts are this, rather than I think or you think, which depersonalises it and just takes that personalisation away from it. There's a scope and sequence matching it to the curriculum, which we will update when we actually get a chance to review the new curriculum, which has just landed. There is links to all sorts of resources from around Australia and globally based on research to do with consent. And the 13 lessons, I'm really proud of the lessons, everything from a consent crossword to a find a word to scenarios where students will role play scenarios in the classroom. There's 13 lessons there that complement each chapter, and also recommendations that we've pulled out that match as well from the Respectful Relationships resource from Victoria here, where that's all done for you as well. So that will be on the website too.
That's great, and that website's very easy to find, and just is a link that you don't need to have purchased the book. There aren't any codes or anything that you have to put in. It's just easy to get to. So when you're navigating,
it'll be accessible to everyone. Yeah,
right. That's right. Do you think you could talk a bit about how you imagine teachers might implement reading the story and using the resources? Like, what kind of scenarios do you think, how might it work in an actual everyday real life classroom situation?
Teachers, I'll get Ingrid to talk to that about reading it around lunchtime, etc. But just teachers are telling me that they are allocating time throughout the year for wellbeing, and this could be incorporated into that, which includes their sexuality lessons, their respectful relationships. Here in Victoria, lots of schools doing respectful relationships. But Ingrid, you might talk to some of the other things we've talked about, reading it over lunch, etc.
So just that, look, one of the great things about it is it's a storybook. It's a chapter book. It's an engaging book. So you can use this, it can be read in an English class and as studied as a text, or it can be read during lunchtime. It can be read for a short period in silent reading. And then you can adapt it. Look, as a teacher, I know that you adapt. You have boxes you have to tick. You have subjects you have to teach that are allocated a certain amount of time, and you know at your school where you can position it. So the great thing about this text is that it is fully adaptable along with the digital platform. So it's really, it's a very accessible chapter book. It's designed for this age range, sort of 8 to 12 year old, sort of grade 3 to 6. You could probably use it to grade 7 as well. It's really, we could say to you that it's a good idea to read one or two chapters in a week, but and then go to the back of the book. But there are no rules about it. It's really what works for you. And, it ticks in terms of the curriculum. It's interpersonal communication. It's health. It's sexuality education in a way. It's certainly,
it's help seeking, how to get help. Yep.
It's literacy. It's definitely literacy. It's communication. So it's those key curriculum areas and also cross-cultural that it meets that as well. So the beauty of it and the design of it is such that you can use it to fit your needs. It's very accessible. It's ready to go. You can pick it up. You would go, oh, we've got 20 minutes left, or we need to do something for 20 minutes. And they will be learning. The beauty of it is that just by reading the story, hopefully they would be engaged. They should be. We think that they will be. and they'll be learning. So you can fit it in wherever it suits what your timetable looks like.
Yeah, I think that is one of the really great things about it, is that you can do as much or as little as you have the time or the appetite for, depending on, you know, the context of the school. You can just read the story. You can read the story and do some of the guided learning. You can read the story and do the guided learning and do the lesson plans and look at all the videos and the support material and the background information on the website as well. So it's really, really broad range of ways to implement it in your school, depending on what else is going on for you.
So, and yeah. Parents can just read the book as well at home. Yeah,
absolutely.
There's a lot to learn for the adults in there too, just by the way.
Well, if we don't have any more questions, it's about 5 to 5, so we could probably call it.
I just might add that, look, Vanessa and I are both very keen to communicate with educators or parents in different contexts about the resource. We're really excited to share it, and we like having these discussions. And so we are available to do that in professional development format or whatever works. So we can be contacted through ACER Press or our personal websites, etc. But it's certainly something we're very passionate about doing.